Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I think of me when I was called into the ministry as a young man. I didn't want it. So I tried to overcome the obedience of God and the path of God and the way of God by making corrections in another way. I gave my time to God. I worked for the Lord. I worked in a church. I was busy. I've shared this with you before. I was a children's pastor or chaplain. I was a bus pastor, they called it, or a bus minister that drove a bus. I was men's ministry director. I was a Royal Ranger commander. I was busy. Every day something I was doing something for the Lord. Every single day I was busy and committing my time and efforts to God. But that's not what He wanted from me. And I was miserable. I was miserable because I wasn't submitted and I wasn't yielding my spirit to God. But I was trying to overcome that miserable part by doing other things, thinking that would suffice Him. See, some people try to buy their way into the kingdom of God. They don't want to really live right and do right, so they try to give finances and they try to give money into the house of God, thinking, well, maybe if I give enough that this judgment of God, or maybe if I give enough, maybe this condemnation and this convicting power that God is convicting me of, maybe if I give enough, then I will be able to overcome that. But that's not what God wants. It isn't finances that He wants. He wants an obedient heart. But there's people in those kind of conditions, brothers and sisters, that do these very things. And then there's people that walk in condemnation. And the Bible said that in Christ there is no condemnation. But there's people full of condemnation, and it's because they haven't established their works. And the Bible said if we would commit our works unto the Lord, that our thoughts would be established. And if our thoughts aren't established, that means that we don't have works unto God. And again, as I read the scripture the other day where I found an error in this Bible. And it says that our works perfect our faith. You see, and I know I've taught works, and I teach that, and I believe in that, and things. But when I read that, how it came alive to me, and I'm thinking that works is perfecting faith. We do know, and we've heard it said so many times, that faith is dead without works. So is it works that makes faith alive? According to that scripture, it's works that's perfecting the faith. So then, yet, if Christ's faith is perfect, then what faith is being perfected? And if He has perfected you once and for all by His works at Calvary, then why did He send a minister to perfect you? You see, so we're doing a dimensional step over. We got to step over in a dimensional perspective. We got to step over into the soul realm. And as we read here in Ezekiel this morning, it said, "The soul that sinneth shall surely die." So then we think of revelation and revelational truths and revelational teaching. And we're saying, yeah, but I understand that I'm born of God and I cannot sin. If you cannot sin, but then the soul that sinneth surely die. How do you differentiate between these two individuals? How do you differentiate between these when the Bible said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? And this is why the Trinitarian Church, or not just the Trinitarian Church, but many of the churches will dispute with you. In Ezekiel, as we read here, we find that we've seen in this word one that is doing righteous. And about the Father's business, we might say. One that is doing good and about the Father's business and turn to iniquity and turn and doeth err. It said that all of His righteousness, and we've got New Testament scripture to confirm that and back it up, but all of His righteousness is forgotten and done away with. And I know that we read in the scriptures that it says that they were weighed in the balances and that they were found wanting. They were found lacking. And they were weighed in the balances. And I've spoken about this, brothers and sisters, so many times. And the thing is that many times people think that their deeds are being weighed. And they say, well, I've done this good. I gave this much finances. I gave this over here. And then over on this side of the scale, they say, I maybe slipped up over here a little bit. And they find this great scale. And they find themselves being weighed in this thing. And they think, but I've done more good than I've done evil. But that isn't what the scripture says, is it? It talks about them that doeth righteous and then they turn and commit wickedness or commit evil, that all of their righteousness is forgotten. But then yet, praise God, on the other thoughts and the other side, you that were born in iniquity, you that have sown in iniquity, you that have done wrong, and you that have lived a lascivious life, a life of wickedness, a life of immorality, all of these things, and you turn and you do righteous. It says that all of that iniquity is forgotten and done away with. You see, isn't that an awesome thing? That you could be granted into the kingdom of God and blessed into the things of God and into the kingdom of God by turning. But this is one thing that we've got to remember. There has to be a turn. There has to be a repentance. There has to be a change. There has to be going away from that. So then when we start rending these two different veils, we see a fleshly life and we see a spiritual life. And when we start rending the veils of this thing, we see that we are rewarded for one life or the other. We're rewarded for our spirit walk with God, or we're rewarded for our fleshly walk with the enemy, the adversary, the devil. And we find that we're going to be rewarded one for the other. So then when we step into between those two, and you say purgatory. When you step in between these two, and you say, is there such a thing as a purgatory, Brother Rob? There's only a purgatory, brothers and sisters, when you yet live. But once you pass from this life, and you slip off into eternity, we'll use, which you already are in. But when you step off into eternity, or you slip out of this natural life, there is no purgatory because the decisions have been made. I know Paul baptized the dead, but it wasn't that kind of dead that he was baptizing. Which again, the Catholic Church continues on in that, baptizing people that are dead. They have, just like you come in and stand proxy for somebody, you stand proxy here to pray for somebody that's not present with us. When you come in here and stand proxy in this church, you say, Brother Rob, I feel in my heart that brother such and such, he's homesick and I want to stand in for him in prayer. Or the sister comes in and says, I want to stand in for this sister. She's in a travail or in a warfare. I want to stand in for prayer. And we do that. That individual is still yet living. And God moves in the Spirit. Where Paul said, I may be absent in the flesh, but I'm present in the Spirit. And when these people come present, then God is dealing and moving in that way. But we don't have people standing proxy for people that have crossed over. There's nothing what we could say or nothing that we could do to adjust the course of their eternity. I believe that you're going to make up your mind on this side, and you're going to get your life in order on this side, and you're going to make the sacrifices necessary on this side, and you're going to sacrifice that natural life on this side. He may have different thoughts and different things in teaching now, but those were some of the things that had come forth in years past. So a lot of times I'm very slow to judge things, brothers and sisters. I'll wait and watch it and I'll ponder. Nobody will hear a thing from me. It's sometimes 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And I say, it's okay, God, it's time to take it off the shelf now. Because there's many times that I've rejected things and they come out to be of God. Because when I came to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and come out of an indoctrination of a religious doctrination in a Pentecostal realms, there was a lot of things that I believe and I stand on and give my life and I stand before God and say, God, if this wasn't so, I'd soon you take me on now, because I don't want to pervert minds or teach things that ain't right. And there's things that have become such a conviction in my heart, and they become so real to me, and God has showed me and assured me by way of visitation, by the way of vision, by the way of dream, by the way of confirmation, by the way of in His Word, that it becomes one with me. I've had people come into this church, and that when they had come, they would hear things, and they would ponder, and they'd think, and they'd war with me, and do all kinds of things. But over the course of time, they've turned from those indoctrinations, of prior indoctrinations, and they've come and established on this, and they stand on this, to even the fact of separation, even from friends and different things, because they've made a stand right here on this. Believe me, brothers and sisters, when I came to the revelation of the Lord, it separated me from a religious world and a religious realm. I know what it is to find fellowship with all of the churches. I know how to preach and to go into any kind of church you set me in, and I could preach in there without crossing one little iota in there of their indoctrination and thought, and can find favor and can find fellowship with them. And many times in our evangelistic world and evangelists, that's what they do. We've got evangelists that visit us down at Little Bethlehem, that they come in and they say that they're of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God has granted revelation unto them, and that they love Brother George and they love the mysteries and they love these things, but then they'll go right out and fellowship in Trinitarian works and preach in Trinity works. You say, Brother George did that. Yes, he did. He would go into a Trinitarian church on an occasion when he was invited, but he would preach the Word. And he'd even try to be careful not to hurt or to cause problem, but he'd still preach the word. He'd bring revelational mysteries and truths forth, and he'd do them in a parabolic way. So there's nothing wrong with that, but we're going into a work in ministering the word, and fellowshipping is the two different things, and being one with them and fellowshipping with them. You understand, we're sent in. I'll preach in Trinity churches myself, and I have since I've been pastoring here. And I don't have a problem with doing that. Even the churches in Mexico that we went into, some of these churches were Trinitarian churches. We were trying to find fellowship in a way that we could get a bond of fellowship in a way that we could utilize their facilities to help needy people, amen, and to do things as unto the Lord. But still looking for the thoughts and looking for the perspective to indoctrinate and teach, because I was a Trinitarian minister. But see, by the love of God and by the grace of God, God turned me and brought me to the revelation of the Word and opened up my eyes. Amen. So we don't look down on anybody because of their indoctrination. We only look to God, and we look at them in the way of an opportunity that God has sent us to win a soul and to teach the Word and to preach the Word and have opportunity to bring them out. If you look at them as lesser than what you are, then you've never come to the revelation of the Lord. You look at them in the way of one that has not been indoctrinated or been unfortunate enough to get their eyes open to things and maybe been under different kind of tutors and different things that they've never had that opportunity. But when they have a hunger to hear, and when they have a hunger to hear and they have a sincerity in God, God will lead them and draw them out of whatever it might be. Whatever it would be. And just as we read here, it may be considered you as unrighteousness because it's not right. An unrighteousness is something that's not right. And even though that there's much unrighteousness within the realms of our churches, brothers and sisters, that means that God could deliver them from that when they hear the Word. And when the Word comes, the Word will set them free. The Word has power of life. The Word has power to change. The Word has power to conform to godliness. The Word has this power. And when they hear the Word will draw them. Just like we said about that eagle, I quoted Brother George said about this eagle flying over the chicken pen and that little eaglet was born in there. It found something that it was familiar with. It found something that it found, it heard this cry out, and it said, you know, wait a minute, I'm familiar to that. And it broke the gravitational pulls of that earth and mounted up. And it went up there with its mother crying out. And it learned it was not to be of this earthen perspective. And this is what we have to do, brothers and sisters, in many cases. We're going to have to hear the cry of the Spirit. And we're going to have to break the bonds of this earth and the things that would bound us in this earth. And we're going to have to catch into the Spirit realm and learn to be led by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. You understand? You got to learn to be a spiritual individual that you could be about the Father's business, that you could walk with Him in every facet of your life and every order of your life, that you be one with Him. And there's not anything that when anything would come that would be a difference between you and Him, anything within your walk in your life, that it would prick your heart and you would get a check within your spirit and you find yourself. Many times, brothers and sisters, it's the one, like when you're doing business as a businessman, the one a lot of times that would be fearful to you is the one that would speak ever so smooth. The one that ever always has the right things. And that's the way a con man is. The one that always has the right things to say. The Bible talks about flattery. And it talks about the digging of a pit. It talks about gifts perverting judgment. And many times people could come into your presence and they could say the right things. They could do the right things. They could do all these different things. And when they do that, a lot of times if you're perverted, your judgment is perverted by the sweetness of their words and the sweetness of their talk, then you'll find yourself in error. You'll find yourself in a travail somewhere. You know, you got to be careful, and that's why you have to be Spirit-led. Don't know no man after the flesh. Know him after the Spirit. Don't know no man after enticing words of wisdom, enticing words. Don't know no man after that. Know him after the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit springing forth, whatever life is coming forth from the Spirit. And if you learn to watch and not be too easily moved, and you could watch a man, and it might take a day, it might take two, it might take a second, it might take 2 weeks, whatever it may take, if you watch a man by the Spirit, not by the flesh, then you will see the Spirit world, the invisible things of God appearing when those things which do appear. You see, we look at that of the heavenlies, and that's the way we should. By all of the things of the heavenlies, those invisible things, right? It said that they shall appear. that we'll see them and comprehend them and understand even the Godhead by the things that we see that appear. But you see, what is the heavenlies and where is this heavenly? We say in the innermost part of man, the rivers of living water flowing from the kingdom of God. And we find that the invisible world of God and the throne of God is all dwelling within. So then you say, if I know a man after the Spirit dwelling within, and that's where this angelic realm is at. And if I would know them by the things which do appear, I could see and comprehend and understand the things of the heavenlies. I could understand and comprehend the things of that spirit life. I could understand and comprehend the invisible works within this individual of the spirit life by the things which do appear. So do if I see a man in lasciviousness or iniquity, if I see a man in the frolics of this world, could I say that I knew him after the spirit by seeing what I do appear? Yes, it's a manifestation of a spirit. He's not doing those things out of the power of the flesh. He's doing those things out of the power of the flesh, yes, but the power of the flesh is being fed by a spirit. So we find that this spirit would be making this individual do the things that he does, and we judge it after the spirit, and we would know whether he'd be of God or he would be of the devil. So we say if we judge it this way, is that cut and dry? We see a man in the world doing worldly things. He said his father is the devil. Is that cut and dry? No. You see, there's a predestination of the inner quickening of the spirit that we look for. So then we make our predestination and our calling sure, but what happens when we see the works of the iniquity, the works of the devil in a man's life? Is he his father the devil? You see, there's a transformation realm, brothers and sisters. And the evil spirit of the flesh and of the fallen image or of the Antichrist, it's going to be there and it's going to work through the soul. And you see the manifestation of the soul manifesting within the deeds of a man. And as this work of iniquity is transforming that man's soul for he can get to the spirit. And it's like you see those things, and if we took an empty glass, and the Bible says, ye that are baptized, your cup runneth over and overflows. And when you're baptized in the Spirit of God, your cup's overflowing and there can't be anything else put in there. You understand that? Nothing else. But you see, when we step back into the soul realm, brothers and sisters, what's happening is this overflowing of the spirit realm is going to come into this cup. And it's going to fill up. And when this cup is full in the soul realm, then that is what you are of, because there ain't be any more put in. And through the course of kindness of God, and through the things of God, and because of a just and righteous God, this is in where the warfare realm is, the transformation realm, the sanctification realm, and the soul realm is right there. And if you keep surrendering your soul to the works of the enemy, and that thing fills up, there will be a time that you are possessed of Satan, and that you are his and only his, and there ain't anything that anybody could do for you at that time. That means it has come. So in the course of this thing filling up in the soul realm, just using this as a terminology sake, in the course of this thing, in this soulless realm, and the things that you give place to, you see, then we come in with repentance. We know that the spirit man doesn't need repentance. The spirit man does not need sanctification because he is glorified. We find glorification in the spirit. He is justified, the one in the spirit. So he's not seeking after justifying. But when we hear the word of God and we hear this word and we're pricked within our heart and convicted of God within our heart, and we see the errors that we have done and failed before God, we go to God with repentance and we turn our ways. So what's happening when we turn? Is our spirit then cleansed? No. You see, this reason I keep going like this, brothers and sisters, I'm rending the veil between the soul and the spirit and between the spirit world of perfection and glorification into the soul realm. And it's the soul that sinneth that surely dies. So what I'm trying to say here is this soul has got to be redeemed by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary for the saving of the body. And it's the body that goes through the redemption, but it's the redemption has got to come through the soul. But for Satan, at the same time, this is something that you should have in your hearts and in your spirit and should know these things so well. But in the soul realm now, Satan himself, the works of the flesh, the iniquity, the darkness, it's going to work up in through that thing to try to get to the spirit, because that's where the life is, the eternal life. And it's working to try to come through your soul to get to life and have that life. So what happens is in this cross, in this realm of the cross, in this realm of sanctification, in this realm of warfare, in this realm of travail, in this realm where the blood is still at, in this realm where the mercy of God is still at, and the blood is on the mercy seat, in this realm right here of this war and travail and cross and persecution and suffering, in this realm right here is where we find that you're travailing and you're fighting, and this is where we find that the iniquity is remembered no more. So what happens? Could we be caught away on a daily basis? We know our spirit's already caught away into the heavenlies. And we know that heaven is present because of our spirit being caught into the heavenlies. But then yet, when we look at this, then we find that there'll be another time that we're caught up in lasciviousness or in the foolishness or in wickedness or in immorality. So we find that in this realm, we find these two different things. So where are we worn at? You see, the redemption and the power and all of these things that we're looking for is the saving of the soul. And the Bible, or in a song that we sing so often, it says, it speaks about the soul of man. And we talk about the soul of man that never dies. But then yet we say, there is a soul that surely dies. And we sing the song of the soul of man that never dies. How could the soul of man never die when it's appointed unto man once to die? And it's appointed unto man the judgments. And it says that this man is going to go back and perish in the earth. And it's going to be sown in iniquity and raised out of iniquity into incorruption. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. So then how do we discern between these worlds? And how do we find these worlds? And see, we have people that don't observe these worlds, brothers and sisters. They're in this world, the things that I'm speaking about this morning are so foreign to them and so far from them, and they minister in the realms of comprehension with the natural eyes instead of in the invisible realms of the Spirit. And we speak the things, again, that are not as if they were. We speak those things, those impossible things, and they're made possible by God. The impossible being made possible. And we find that those impossible things being made possible because of the works of Christ at Calvary and because of the spirit world. And because of this invisible spirit world being made manifest within the soul realm and made the possible of the body of iniquity, made that impossible thing possible by raising it out of corruption into incorruption. But it all had to go through the soul realm. So where are we at in this day and hour that we live? Where do we walk? When we speak, when we talk, when we do all of these things, who is it that's speaking? Is it either God speaking through you, or is it either the devil speaking through you, which a man disputed with me? He said, no, brother. He said, I do what I want to do. He said, there's no power of darkness working in my life, and there's no God working in my life. He said, I do exactly what I want to do. And that was just made perfect proof to me that he was a child of hell, a child of the devil. When a man does what he wants to do, and a man does whatever he feels, whatever makes him feel good, and he just runs out his life, and he's doing those things, he is a child of hell and is a child of the devil. No doubt about it. Every single time. Well, can a child of the devil be redeemed in the soul realm? This is why sometimes when you think of things like purgatory, and you get them in the wrong dimension where people will get into error. And this is where the Catholic Church has got into error. And they teach us purgatory of a place that after you die, you find yourself in that place. And if enough saints would pray for you, and if they'd give enough money unto the priest, that you would be taken out of purgatory. See, that's not truth. But then yet we could reflect on that, brothers and sisters, and we could look at your life. And we could look at your life and you could see the things of the immoralities and the things happening within your life. And you say, well, how do I get out of those things? By works. By works. And you say, there's no way. We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace, not by works, that no man can boast. You're out of them by works. That's the only way that you'll come out of it, is by works. There's going to have to be works committed unto God in your life to come out of the iniquity in the soul realm. The spirit realm was done by faith in God. The spirit realm was done by God's faith. The spirit realm was done by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you were justified, sanctified, and glorified. The spirit is untouchable. The spirit Satan can't touch. The spirit world Satan can't get there. He can't touch you. You're an untouchable there. Brother George, you say, touch me not. And you say, the sons of God are touch me nots. So in the spirit, He had saved you, predestined you. He had made you righteous. He had made you whole. He had made you perfect by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So what are we speaking about when you say, Brother Rob, it's going to be by works? You see, again, if we read that scripture the other night, and that your faith is made perfect by works. Whose works is that? Faith was, His works were perfect already. It said there, as we read today, there was no guile found in His mouth. He was perfect. So then, what is these works that you're saying there for? Boy, and boy, the preachers would love to hear this out on the radio before they could just crucify me. Amen, but it's because they don't understand. They don't understand, and they've taken such an important thing in this religious world, in this religious day and hour, in this Laodicean day church. They've taken one of the most precious things and one of the greatest things out, and they've trampled it under their feet, and they get up and preach their elegant messages and say that we're saved by grace, not by works, and they got Bible for that. But we got Bible for a lot of things. We take it line upon line and precept upon precept, and we can't take one scripture out of the Word. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, that thou shalt be saved. Call upon His name, but the Bible says that His ears are closed to the wicked. And there's scriptures that say that they confess me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. We got to go line upon line, brothers and sisters. And there's nowhere in my understanding, nowhere in the understanding that I've found in this Word, that we can do away with works. See, they take a scripture out of context. Just like I say, they take one scripture about judgment, saying that you can't judge. Preachers are preaching that from every pulpit in this country, that, oh, you can't judge. And they've missed what God's commanded them to do. He's commanded them. I got more Bible telling me that I must judge. I can get the scriptures out one upon another, upon another, upon another, upon another. That you must judge. That you must judge. You have to judge. But you don't do it out of an intellectual mind of carnal reasoning. You don't judge after your denomination. You don't judge after your thoughts. You judge after the mind of Christ and the Word of God. And your judgment is righteous and it's holy and it's godly. And your judgment is through charity. Your judgment is by love. And you're making judgments that you know how to deal with people and individuals and personalities, that you could bring life to them. And you judge it, for you would know where they stand. If I say a man is a drunk, I'm making a judgment because that's the condition the man is. I didn't make him a drunk. He's a drunk, and I had to make a godly judgment. That's a drunk, and I know how to deal with a drunk. He needs to be born again. You see what I'm saying? So you made a judgment that you could deal with him and indoctrinate him and teach him. If you make a judgment that a man is whatever, you have to make a judgment or you won't know how to deal with him. Don't you know that this whole life is full of judgment? If Brother Wayne hires a new man tomorrow, he's going to have to judge if he could leave him on the job by himself or not. He's going to have to judge if he knows how to hang sheetrock or not, or knows how to tape or not. He's making a judgment. You see, we can't judge a man and put him in, condemn him into hell. You understand that? Even though that there is a time that God, by understanding, by discernment of the Spirit, could see that a man has crossed over and blasphemed against the Holy Ghost and is cut off in this world and the world to come, the Bible says. But you don't judge him into hell. He had done that himself. Hell wasn't created for man. It was made for the fallen spirits of the Antichrist, or those demonic spirits made for the devil. And you don't put no man in hell. Man puts himself in hell. But you could make a judgment of the condition of his heart and the condition of his way and the condition of his walk, and you could see his destiny and where he's going because of the things that are manifesting within his life. And if a man is full of darkness, then he is possessed of darkness and he is a child of the devil. Okay, so now we're speaking about this soulless realm, and we're speaking about a transformation realm. And transformation means something that's transformed. When you transform something, you take something and transform it. So, again, we use the power pole out here, and there's a transformer hanging on the power pole, and it's got to transform this 30-some thousand volts down to 220 for it to come into the house and not fry the house. So in the perspective of looking at it from the spiritual realm, it transforms this power of God down into a lower measure that we could handle this within our earthen vessel. Otherwise, it would just fry it. Because we couldn't handle the fullness of the power of God. But Jesus dwelled within the fullness. The fullness of the power of God dwelled within Jesus. So then we find that as this thing is transformating us and this transforming power of the Spirit of God comes within our life, and as that transformer is turned up as we walk in the knowledge and the understanding of God. And what happens many times, and we've got to be careful, is as this transformating power within our life, and we go out and lay hands on somebody, or we go out and speak to somebody, and we say things to somebody that is more than they could perceive, because the power is too powerful. And that's why you got to break it down. You see, if you're a minister or a witness, then you got to transformate these things down by taking these things down and bringing it down to a lesser light, so to speak, that they can understand and comprehend and feed and draw them back out. This is what I'm hoping to get the opportunity with Brother Joseph to do. I'm hoping to get the opportunity. Brother George, I remember him saying, he goes, you know, I get these ministers come in and they're man, wired up full of zip and zeal. Man, you can't talk to them. He said, you got to wait for them to wind down. He said, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 days. Sometimes it takes several days and they kind of get their thrust out of the way. And then all of a sudden you could speak to them. And then all of a sudden you could start getting into revelation with them. Start getting into the mind of the Lord with them and start going into maybe the mysteries of God. Well, that's an awesome thing when you can find a heart that's like that. When you can find a man willing to step out of his own agendas for a moment and step out of his own mind for a moment, his own ideas for a moment, his own religion for a moment, his own thoughts for a moment, his own ways, just for a moment. Seconds sometimes. I've had Brother George speak 2 words into my spirit. 2 words that changed my life more than 50 hours of sermons. 2 words. Because it hit my spirit and made contact with my heart and made contact with my spirit. And this is what I look for within a man's life. I look for the contact in that spirit realm. And I might preach hours and hours and hours and hours. And they'll draw a little bit here or a little bit here and a little there. But man, when something hits that spirit and makes a contact in that spirit life, that changes them. It's just like a seed that goes in and makes contact. And that thing all of a sudden bursts forth and explodes and brings revelation and brings mysteries. The Bible said that we're stewards of the mysteries. And I may be a steward of the mysteries, but you see, you got to pray that God would grant unto you revelation. You got to pray that God would bring you mysteries. You got to pray that God would unveil these things to you. And many times those things are hid from you. Many times, brothers and sisters, because of lasciviousness within our life and within our hearts, and because of our own agendas. You see, we're the bride, remember that? You say, you taught us we're the sons of God. Well, you ain't going to see the sons of God until it comes forth from the bride, and that's why the woman was saved. So what am I? Am I a bride or a son of God? Well, it depends on what dimension you're standing in looking at it. Right now, we're dealing in a soulless realm dimension. And we can understand and talk about the mysteries of God. We can understand spiritual things. And we can talk about spiritual things. But there has to be a manifestation. Amen. There has to be a manifestation. See, this is what the rapture is all about. It is the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. But it's not that all of a sudden somebody's a son of God. You see, there had to be a birth. There had to be a travail in childbearing. And there had to be a birth that come forth. So see, there has to be a dimensional transgression of a 1, 2, 3, and that you was born into iniquity and born as a man. I don't care if you're male nor female, you were born as the Adamic nature of Adam. In that perspective, with a curse of death. And then we got to step out of that realm, male nor female alike, and step into a transformation realm, again into a soulless realm. And we find the bride of Christ lying there, and we say that Jesus made us to be that way. He's coming back for his bride. So we find there in this realm, and we got to find the conception to bring forth the Son of God. Which part is caught into the heavenlies? The Son of God. But he's coming back for his bride. But you see, the inheritance always went to the Son. The inheritance always went to the first man born. So when we find these saints and we find who's going to receive this inheritance, it's going to be the sons of God. So see, you may have come to an understanding of a dimensional projection that you being the son of God and that we are the sons of God. But you see, you do not yet appear of what you already are. But where's the appearing happening at? Before the son is born, there's an appearing within the woman, isn't there? But then there's a child that's born and a child comes forth. And we find this water, and we find the blood, and we find the spirit, but we find that these three are one. And we find that these three agree in one. The water, blood, spirit, the Bible says agree in one. Father, Word, Holy Ghost are one. So that when we find that we have to have these three that are agreeing in one, and that means that we can't do away with one of them. You see, brothers and sisters, this is why we got to get into an understanding of a dimensional source if we're going to go anywhere with God. We're going to have to come to some revelational truths if we're going to comprehend and understand God, or we're just religious. I got sons of God in here. There was a statement made that some people don't like the way I preach because nobody's going to make it. I'm going to keep preaching like nobody's going to make it, for somebody will make it. You understand what I'm saying? If I start preaching like everybody's going to make it, nobody's going to make it. But if I preach like nobody's going to make it, then everybody's going to make it. You know why? Because the devil's seeking to kill you and destroy you. And if I back off and let down, then the thing is then we'll just go into lasciviousness and into a Laodicean day thought and a Laodicean day message. We want to be spiritual, brothers and sisters. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. And let's talk about soul life and a life in the soul realm. And you say, well, I want this soulless life. And in a soulless life, we've got two lives there, a manifestation of both lives. We got in the soulless realm, we got darkness and we got light. But we can put it into a twilight because it's a dim light and it's a lesser light. So when we look into the soul realm, we see the powers of darkness and we see the powers of light. And we find a travail and we find a warfare within those two realms. So then, what we have got to do is purpose, and I need to finish up on my thoughts where I was speaking of works. Because I was pretty bold in my action, in my speech. If you think you're going to have eternal life by works alone, you're wrong. You'll never make it. You cannot find eternal life through works. Okay? And you say, well, that's contrary to what you just said. No, it isn't contrary to what I just said. I'm saying that you cannot have eternal life through works alone. And you cannot have eternal life through faith alone. You say this is two worlds that's got to come together. You cannot have reproduction of life with a woman alone. Even though the devil's trying to go another way through this, through DNA and through things, he's trying to bypass a realm. And he's trying to reproduce life. You understand that? He's trying to bypass a dimensional projection here. And this is what the church world is trying to do. You cannot have life. The woman cannot have life unless there's a seed of life planted within her. And the man cannot reproduce life unless there's a woman to plant the seed within. The earth cannot bring forth fruit unless there is seed planted within the earth to bring forth the fruit. So we find, again, a projection of a one, the seed, the two, of the tree of life or the vine. And then the three would be the product of the vine. We got the man, we got the woman, and we got the seed that comes forth. We got the man that implants the seed within the woman, being the power. And we're showing the spiritual realm. We got the woman showing the soul realm receives this thing. Then we got the seed that comes up, and you say the body. You say, Brother George said the only way that you'd understand the spiritual is if you would reverse it. So what happened to this body? But it's the redemption of the body and to the body. And the sons of God are going to be birthed. And you say, well, where are they birthed at, in the body or in the spirit? The body was crucified and done away with, no longer remembered. But that's what the redemption goes to. So then it was not that body that you've seen sown in corruption, but it was the one that was raised in incorruption. So when that Son of God body comes forth, you understand that is going to be the glorified image of God. And it's going to be the glorified one. It's going to be the incorruptible one. You say, well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, we've seen it all in Him. And He said He was the firstborn of many brethren. And everything you've seen with Him, we have to apply within ourselves. So then when we go into a dimensional projection or a breakdown of this one and very thing, brothers and sisters, then here's what we've got to do is we've got to look at it within our heart, the inner quickening, the masculine, the man part, in the soul realm, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the feminine part. We're going to have to let that inner quickening of the masculine go forth and sow into the woman, into the fleshly part, and to bring forth the life. And that's the Son of God part. And the Son of God part is right now is not yet seen, but He is dwelling there with all power and with all authority. And He is being made manifest in what this life and what we appear. So see, we cross three dimensions right there in one perspective of thought. And reason that we have to learn to do this, brothers and sisters, is for we know who we are in Him, and we know how to operate and how to walk. And when we understand revelational truths, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I preach the blessings of God. And many times, because people are natural, they hear the judgments of God coming forth from the sacred desk. And many times they leave with a sense of condemnation, or they leave with a sense of a conviction, because that's all they heard. But there's life that's being preached forth from Christian temple on a continuous basis. And the thing is, if you're a drunkard, and I'm preaching against drunkenness, yes, you're going to leave condemned. But once you've freed from that thing that has a hold of you, then the when you hear the message of drunkenness or against the drunkard, it's not going to affect you. You're going to say, praise God, God delivered me from that. And you will rejoice in your heart. You see, and when you preach the revelation of the Lord or the mysteries of God, there's one being fed and one being killed. And which one are you making yourself to? Which one are you fellowshipping? If you're fellowshipping the one that I'm trying to kill here, then you're going to leave very distraught. You're going to leave these services upset. You're going to leave these services not feeling like you've been fed because you've been killed. You understand? But if you are a child of God and a son of God, and you know of the angelic quickening of that spirit within, you're going to leave this place filled with the Spirit and filled with power, filled with strength, filled with confidence in Him, not in yourself. You see, there were some things that went forth this weekend of a self-confidence that was so contrary to what is written and what I've been preaching here for all these years. But I say God suffered it because I got some people that need to learn natural things. I've talked about the natural mind and about positive thinking in this church. I said some of you need to learn that. But when you get that down, you'll make better in this life, but it isn't going to benefit you at all in spirit life. None. You could be the most positive person, and you could be so positive in natural mind, and you could speak about all the positive things of this world. There's people selling real estate that way. There's people doing that. And it's an awesome thing. You know why? Because Africa's been a defeated country, and they've been down in starvation and all those things. And that's the kind of thing that'll turn that country around, exactly what He's doing. And God suffers it. But I'm a spirit man. You understand? I got to look beyond the veil of those things. And when you're in the spirit, there was some things there that would be considered dangerous. I told you, go look in the mirror if you want to see who the devil is. He said, go look in the mirror if you want to see who's beautiful is. You see a contrary thing there. What is it? You see, self-esteem. I don't teach self-esteem. I teach Christ's esteem. Amen. You see, but God suffered it because I got people here in this church that are so poor-mouthed on a continuous basis. No victory in their life. And sometimes I find myself, I've made this statement to the brethren before. I said, you know, I don't find myself just being a preacher trying to preach spiritual things. I find myself trying to be a teacher to teach people natural things. You know, and you see, then the thing is, you're trying to teach them natural things for them not to approach to the kingdom of God. And then once they learn the natural things, then you're going to find yourself having to beat that out of them for they could be spiritual. Now, does that make any sense to you? But God suffers it. You see, when a spirit man manifests in a natural man, the deeds that he's done are not natural, they're spiritual. You see, one man could eat and be natural, and another man could even be spiritual. One man could have a relationship and it'd be spiritual. And another man have a relationship and it'd be fornication and adultery. Well, let's get out of the fornication and adultery. A man could be spiritual and have a relationship within where the Bible said the marriage bed is undefiled in all of its ways. And a man could be spiritual and have this relationship and be spiritual. And another man could have it and be frolic of the flesh. So a man could eat and be spiritual, another man could eat and be natural. A man could have the relationship and be natural, another one be spiritual. You say, how could it be? Another man could work on his job and be natural, and all of the labors and all of the increase of his labors be natural, and another man do it and be spiritual. How could it be? Bible says labor that you have to give. A man that's laboring that he, because he has a given heart, and he's laboring that he could give unto his family, give unto God, and give unto the increase of the kingdom of God, then he's blessed and he's doing it for a spiritual thing. And another man's labors is for his belly. Everything he does is for his belly. You say, what does that mean? The serpent was put on his belly. So what does it mean if a man's labors are all for his belly? It means that everything he does is out of self and selfishness. And everything he does is for his betterment and for his thing. And those men, as a rule, don't usually prosper in spiritual things. Never do. Even though they'll prosper in natural things, because there's principles, brothers and sisters, that apply in all dimensions. And there's an increase for labors, the Bible says, and a reward for all labors. And if your labors are natural, you'll be rewarded naturally. But if you're looking for natural reward, that means you're not spiritual. You labor naturally for you could reap spiritual rewards. You see, you labor naturally to sow into the Spirit. You don't labor naturally to sow into the natural. You labor naturally to sow into the Spirit, and then you get an increase in the natural and the physical and the spiritual because you've applied things in the right way. So you see how a man can cross things up? So then, how can I eat and be spiritual? Because you're eating to get strength to this physical body, that you could be about the Father's business. That you could sustain a physical form of life, that the spirit life could manifest within that. So it becomes spiritual. But another eats because of the lust of the flesh, and because the desires of the flesh. And they do it, and it's natural. You see, so we look at things and we observe life, and sometimes we don't comprehend and understand life. And the Bible says that there is an uncertain sound that goes forth. Or we say a familiar spirit that goes forth, or a lying vanity. And what happens is sometimes there's things that we see with natural eyes, and if we don't discern it by the Spirit, if we don't discern it by the Spirit, then we will hear an uncertain sound. Do you know that the preacher could say this man is not called of God? There's no calling in his life. A preacher could say that this man isn't sent of God, and there's no sent forth in his life. And he goes out and starts the work, builds it to 10,000. You say the preacher was wrong. See, but you may be listening to an uncertain sound. Man, there's many churches with thousands and thousands and thousands of people in it, and the preachers are not called of God. The preachers were called from a natural thing. And because maybe granddaddy was a preacher, or grandma was a preacher, or whatever, you know, or somebody was a preacher. And they went into it. You know, there's generations of preachers from generation, generation, generation. I thought I was going to be a crop duster pilot. That's where I was looking. That's where I was going, man. That's what I had my sights set on. But you see, I found another father. I found I had a new father. And he had different ideas for me, amen? Let's go on just a little bit more, brothers and sisters, and let's think on some of these things. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to understand who we are. I've got men here that know who they are in Christ. Brother William Branham made a statement. He said when the church realizes who they are, he said that's when the rapture takes place. He says when the bride of Christ recognizes who she is, then that's the rapture. Is he right in what he said? Yea and amen. I recognized who I was. Guess what happened? I've been caught away. Amen. I've already been raptured. I've already been caught away. How was you caught away? Well, I was caught away in the third dimension. I know that I wasn't in body. I know I was in spirit. But I was caught into the third heaven. So you say, that's pretty good. Physically, now we're a spiritual rapture. What about a physical rapture, brothers and sisters? The physical rapture runs with the soul realm. Jesus came in a physical body. Jesus was the manifestation of the invisible spirit world made in a physical form. God with us. Came in the soul realm, showed the moon, showed the blood. Came in that physical form, and that was God with us. So we find a physical rapture. So we say, what is a physical rapture? It's a daily rapture. You see, either he's going to be crucified every day by the wicked, which he was crucified for us once and for all, then the judgment come to what? Where did the judgment come? To the body. So see, the body's being judged, brothers and sisters, and that's why the Bible says that you're not held accountable to the deeds of the body, but it's to the deeds of the soul. So one would think with a mind of ignorance and a mind of darkness, say, well, that means I could go ahead in my fornication and adultery and immoralities, my drunkenness and all those things, and I'm not accountable to that sin of the body. And I say, you're right. You got it right exactly on, man. That is so right. You have absolutely come to the revelation of the Lord. Now ye are God. But be careful. Be very careful. Because you'll be accountable for the soul, and it's the soul that sinneth that surely dies. So you're not accountable to the iniquity of the first birth. You're not accountable to the corruption of the fleshly mind. You're accountable to the soul. And he has sent back to make sure, and to make sure that he sent you back power of the Holy Ghost. He sent back power. And when he sent back the power of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, to you, he sent this power back that it can overcome the things of the body. And it can overcome the spiritual iniquities that have come down in generational curses. He has given you the power of overcoming. He has given you the power to conquer, the power of life. So, when we find that this travail is being in the soul realm, and I said that it's by works, 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 it's by works. So we find that what was saved by grace was the grace of God when he was crucified at the cross of Calvary to take away the iniquity of the first birth of the Adamic nature of Adam, that you would not be accountable for that, and that you were born into sin with the sentence of death, and he took and removed that curse of death away from you, and the last enemy of God to be conquered was death, the Bible says. So he took that curse of death away from you, and he conquered death and resurrected. In a new form, they didn't recognize him. He being the firstborn of many brethren. Then the thing is that you were born in iniquity and you were raised up in iniquity of the first birth of this flesh and life. But then yet, because of what Jesus done at Calvary, he done away with that thing that you was born into and crucified and put it as far as the east is from the west and done away with the last enemy of God, which is death. And you have conquered death and have life. And that's abundant life, eternal life. See, that's the life that we've come into, the born-again experience. So now we are a creature, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And now ye are the sons of God. Maybe it don't yet appear. You still are appearing in darkness. And the Bible says that light being formed within that darkness. So you find that light is a comprehension and understanding being formed within the darkness of your first birth of the intellectual part. And in darkness he had formed thee, or in iniquity has formed thee. And out of that darkness is where you will come. And that's where light is created. And this is where this regeneration through the Word of God, by coming out of the darkness into the light. And when you come into this light, into this comprehension, into this understanding, then you know who you are in Him, that you are now a son of God. And when you know that you have got life and life more abundantly, and then know that you have conquered death. So see, now these things are infiltrating from the things that are completed, the things that are finished of the spirit realm, coming into your soul and coming into your comprehension and coming into your understanding, that you could be about the Father's business and go forth the same as the Lord Jesus Christ did, that you will become a Savior. And that you will be a Savior to save others. Now the other night when I was preaching, I told you, I said, you're not doing these things for yourself, you're doing it for others. So if you come to the revelation of the Lord, or you know who you are in Him, and if you do know who you are in Him, then you're not warring for your soul's sake, you're warring for other souls' sake. You know who you are, you know that you're born of God, you know that you've been filled with the Spirit of God, you know that you've conquered death, you know you've passed from death unto life, you know that you've already been caught away into the heavenlies. You know that you've been sealed in, that you're perfected once and for all, that you can't sin. You know that you've conquered all things and got a power and authority, and that death doesn't have a sting with you because you are a conqueror. So praise God. How can there be anything held to your charge? Because you're God's elect. There ain't nothing. See, this is the way you need to think, and the way that you know you are. And when you believe that, and you profess that, and you confess that, and you talk like that, and you walk like that, and knowing who you are in Him, then all of a sudden you're not in a travail about your soul, or you're not in a travail about you and your eternal life. You know who you are in Him. And then all of a sudden you've gone into another travail, and it's to save others. And then you find that you stepped into a world of persecution and tribulation and a world of suffering and a world of all these things. Why? Say, I just want to dwell in heaven where there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no sorrows, there's no sickness. That's where I want to dwell. That's where you are at. That's where you dwell in your spirit. But then there's things that are happening to this physical form. And there's things that are happening because Jesus was beat upon his back, didn't make him powerless. That's where we got the power. Just because they jammed thorns down on him and he willingly gave himself over. And they put him in prison, didn't put him in prison. It got us out of prison. You understand that? And the thing is we got to be careful, brothers and sisters, because there's things that we got to understand in both dimensions. And there's been a crossover of people bringing things from one dimension into another, and they get confused. You see, if you got sickness in your body, doesn't make God not real. You say, well, there's sickness in my body because I lack in faith, and that very well may be so. That can very well be so. But then yet there's sometimes we find ourselves paying prices on this side. And he who suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. What are we after? The ceasing of sin. And we've ceased from sin when we know who we are in him. You say, well, after we received a message of understanding and we got, man, healing in our body and stuff, and you're going to bring this back on us. No, I'm not. That's where you're wrong. You're wrong. I believe in healing. I believe in overcoming. I know that God, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us from some of them. That's right. Isn't that what it says? All of them. Amen? From all of them. So, you got to be careful how you think. Paul had a buffeter from Satan. Who sent it? God. Why? Because much revelation. So you see, this is why we got to understand, brother, sister. I'm bringing you understanding and comprehension, teaching you things in dimensional projections and realms, for your faith will not be shipwrecked and you can understand and comprehend. Let me tell you, I've been in a charismatic move and a charismatic walking for a long time, and I understand, and the things they're preaching is the truth in many cases, but it's many times without understanding, and I find people at the end of the road shipwrecked in their faith. I could take you to minister after minister after minister after minister that are on their face, shipwrecked in their faith because they've been preaching these things and not seeing them manifest because they're looking in the wrong area. Amen. And in the wrong time and the wrong thing. And there, see, the thing is Jesus came in a physical realm. He worked in the physical realm, and he done miracles in the physical realm. You see, because he was bringing a comprehension of God, and we're to do the same thing. Does it mean that we're not supposed to see blind eyes open? Oh, yes, we are. Both in spiritually and naturally, in both dimensions. We're supposed to see blind eyes open, natural eyes, physical, spiritual eyes. But which one's greater? Which one's greater when they don't see the greater? It says they won't see good when good comes, is what the Bible says. You see, and Jesus walked among them, they didn't even see him and didn't even know him. Why? What was that showing forth? See, there's a lot of things we need to really understand and get rooted in and grounded in and comprehend these things, brothers and sisters. We're serving an awesome God. We're serving a God that don't want you in sickness. He don't want you in poverty. He don't want you in pain. He don't want you in those things. He don't want you in those things. He wants you to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. And you are. If you're a child of God and you're sealed in by the Holy Ghost and you're in the Spirit, you're walking with your eyes wide open. You're walking in a perspective. You're not lame. You understand? You're not deaf. You might have some of those problems in a natural realm, but that doesn't have anything to do with the spiritual realm of a man. Zilcho. Not at all. And this is why we got to be careful how we preach, is because we do preach things in a physical realm that man could walk in healing and man could walk in those things, but we cannot destroy what's taking place from not your works, but his works. We can't take away what Jesus done on the stripes on his back. We can't take away what Jesus has done for you because we don't see it maybe in a physical form within your life in the perspective of health. Do you understand what I'm saying? If so, Brother George wasn't a man of faith. You think I preach like that because of his infirmities? No. Because I find them all through the Bible. He who suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. He said, I'm suffering for my and going through much persecution because of my revelation. And it's because when a man is so spiritual and the people look at him and they don't see something in the way of a physical thing in the flesh, they'll esteem him as God and worship him as God. And that's when God takes him off the scene. You understand that? And if without, there's, without the death of the testator, the testament is no effect. So I know I know exactly why, because people get their eyes looking in the wrong realms. And this is why God suffers things in people's lives. You understand that? This is why He suffers those things in people's lives. For that you'll keep your eyes on God. Don't look at Brother Rob, look at Christ. Don't look at George Pike, look at Christ. Don't look at David Pike, look at Christ. Don't look at Mike Beachy, look at Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You got to find where you're looking and who you're following and what you're watching after. If your preacher ain't following Christ, depart from him. If your preacher ain't preaching the word, go. Find one that does. Amen? So I'm still looking for a place to close. So, what do we find here, brothers and sisters? We find a spiritual realm and we find a manifestation realm. And this is where we got to keep our dimensions in order. I listened to Brother Pike very closely when I came to Little Bethlehem. And I'd get things crossed up, believe me. Man, I'd be trying to say, now wait a minute, how does this work? And it took a long time for me to get my dimensions in order. And I still, man, I ponder on things, think about things, pray about things on a continuous basis, trying to get them all to find order. Man, I get in the Word of God and I read and I ponder on the God. And I think and I ponder and I think and I ponder. I say, God, help me. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of fine lines here. When you take works and faith, they're together. But then yet you can rend it by the veil of revelation, and they're as far as the east is from the west. You see, it depends on how you look at it. Now see, a lot of the things where the denominational churches are preaching against works, they're right. Because I'm not teaching you here today that you're saved by your works. I'm going to teach you that you're saved by faith. But I'm also going to teach you that your faith is dead without works. So if works is made perfect, faith is made perfect by works, then you have to have works. But it's not your works that perfected the spirit realm. That was done by His works, and He saved you when you were yet still in your sin. So see, now we're seeing again the Spirit being sealed in. Now the thing is this. Is that now we're going to start coming in with your works and applying your works, brothers and sisters. And your works are going to be a manifestation that you believe and that you have faith. And that faith that you have is dead unless there's works with it. We got Bible for this, don't we? So now we're going to have your works with that faith, and it makes that faith alive, it makes that faith real. And the only way that we can know that faith is real and faith is alive by works, so I can't do away with works. But then yet I can have works of religious works. I could be in church. I could pay my tithes. I could shake the preacher's hand every time the doors open and say, boy, I love you, man. Man, I tell you, I really enjoyed that message. Boy, everything was good. Man, I tell you what, you really helped me. See, those are works. But if those works don't have faith, they're dead. Those works are dead. Even though they're not dead in the natural realm, the finances aren't dead. The finances, you know, they could buy bread, they could buy milk, they could pay light bills, they could do those things. So the finances may not be dead. But see, what does all that have to do with? See, it's works. Then those works are just a manifestation of the faith. So we got works and faith that are so close together, brothers and sisters, that we need to be able to rend them apart and know that you're not saved by works, that you're saved by faith. You got to be able to rend them apart and see that it's by faith, and that no man will see God except through faith. And so we got to find these things in faith. It's just like a person could dress holiness but not have the spirit of holiness. But can you have the spirit of holiness and not dress holiness? No. Making allowances for little babies that maybe have been filled with the Spirit of God and haven't made the changeovers yet. But if a person has the spirit of holiness, they'll dress in holiness. But a person could dress in holiness and not have the spirit of holiness. So you reverse it. You can have works and not faith, but you can't have faith and not works. And if you do have faith without works, then the faith is dead and the faith is of no value. You know, if you had a pet and it's dead, it ain't no value to you. You got to do away with it. You understand that? All right. I think I went far enough here this morning. I don't know if I actually fulfilled what I come here to do. I find myself, I got to lay things again and again, and sometimes I've got things in my heart that I want to go, and I find myself get to a certain point, and I struggle with places that I don't think I should have to, that I shouldn't have to struggle or lay again the foundations again. But I heard Brother George do it for 25 years, and bringing those things. But I got people that are coming to these things surely. We say slowly but surely, but I don't think so. You know, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years, so if you come to it in your lifetime, you're doing pretty good. Amen. I encourage you to turn, just like it said there in the Bible. It says, when you've done and sowed in unrighteousness, sown in iniquity, when you've sown in sin and you've done all these things, turn and do righteous. Things will be put behind you. But then yet, you say, where does that happen in that, Brother Rob? It's happening in the spiritual realm. And there's a travail realm that many times that you've made a garden that you're going to have weed. I know many times people go out and they sow in the weeds in their garden. And then they come to the preacher and want him to help them. You know what, man? I've done some natural garden. I don't like plucking weeds, man. And I'd rather try to guard over my garden, not have a bunch of weeds in it. You know, and sometimes them weeds, I don't know about these weeds out here, but I know out there in California they had these certain kind of weeds that growed up, and they were sharp. Boy, and you could be reaching in to get fruit and have to go through them weeds and actually cut your arms up. And if some, what do they call that weed? You remember that?
Kudzu.
No, kudzu, yeah. No, they had, it was very sharp, and it was a blade of, it was like a, it almost looked like a long grass. And, but it would cut you. And a lot of times people, you know, you talk to them, say, brother, you're sowing where you don't need to sow. You need to be careful. You need to be careful. They go on because for a time there's pleasure in it. But then all of a sudden when that stuff comes up and you have to go for the fruit and you got all that stuff around, sometimes it's a bloody experience. When you have to dig through them things and to get to those things, their old worldly saying said, you made the bed and you live in it. Sometimes they want to take your bed and they want you to sleep in theirs. And you say, well, that'd be the fruit of love, Brother Rom. Yay and amen. I find myself going through travails with people, man, that I would be a long ways from trying to help people. Jesus done it himself. He came down here to this whole natural world. He came down here being God, being the Messiah, being the creator of all things. And he came down here, was spit upon for you, beat upon for you, thorns slammed over his head for you. All of those things he done for you. And this is your turn. You find out who you are in him, that you've been caught away in the heavenlies, come back to this earth in a spiritual mind, in a spiritual walk, in a spiritual way. And you walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and take to the cross of Calvary for him, for the people, for your families. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. We won't keep you much longer. Is that your desire? That's my desire. My desire is to be just like him. I long be like him. Life's journey. Hallelujah. To be like him. Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Don't let him be a stranger in your life, brothers and sisters. Find him. Know him. Journey. Long to be like him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. The altars are open if you have need of prayer. Jesus, earth I long to be like him. Praise you, Lord. You say, Brother Rob, I want to be like him. Are you willing to deny all? He denied the spiritual things of the heavenly world to come down here naturally, to conquer those things naturally, and to walk and see the power of God naturally? Are you willing to deny the natural things of this world and the possessions of this world and the things of this world to seek Him in the spiritual places? Hallelujah. Seek His kingdom first. Praise You, Jesus. To be like Him. Hallelujah. Life's journey, earth to glory. Praise You, Lord. To be like Him. Hallelujah. Oh, the debt I did not pay, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Amazing grace. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Let Him minister to your heart. Don't be in too big of a hurry. Let Him speak to your heart. Wash my sins away,
and now Hallelujah. I sing a brand new song. It's amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid.
Are you singing that brand new song?
That I could never pay.
Hallelujah.
He paid a debt.
Praise
did
Jesus.
Not own, I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. It's amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Let's sing another song before we close the service.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we shall not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. You really feel like you got the power? You got the power to speak those things that are not and bring them into an existence. You've got the power, brothers and sisters, to make again the impossible possible. You got the power to know that you are sealed in by the Holy Ghost and to conquer death. You got the power, brothers and sisters, of eternal life. You got the power to remit sin. You believe that? They found fault with Jesus for that. They said, here you are, man. They told Him, they said, here you are, man, thinking that you have the power to remit sin. They said, only God could do that. Amen. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you have the authority and you have the power to remit sin tonight, today. Hallelujah. And if you find fault with that, you got the same Spirit that crucified Him. But that's what the Bible says. You need to let that mind be in you that was also in Him. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And the only way that you could be equal with God is by becoming one with Him. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and being married unto Him. And it is no longer a mystery or secret to you. and you know that you are one with Him and that you have the power to remit sin. And you say, I'd have to see Bible for that. Yea and amen. Turn the book of Acts into the second chapter. Go over to Matthew where He commanded you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. That's what He said, isn't it? He said to go into all the world preaching the gospel and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they fulfilled it. And they took them out and they baptized them in the wonderful name of Jesus for what? For the remission of sin. They remitted their sin. How'd they do it? In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You ain't going to do it in Brother Rob's name, and you surely ain't going to do it in your name. But you'll do it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. And He's given you the authority and the power to use that name. And there's no other name under heaven that has the power to remit sin except His wonderful name. And that's Jesus. Amen. Exercise it. Utilize it. Use it. When your family's bound in sin, pray for them. Exercise that wonderful name of Jesus and call them forth out of iniquity and out of bondage. Call them forth. Call them out. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
Just call
like
on that name.
Fragrant.
Creation. Let Him minister
after
to your heart. Hallelujah. Let Him refresh that spirit. Let Him regenerate that mind. Let Him wash and regenerate and cleanse. Hallelujah. Let Him speak to you. Let Him visit you. Hallelujah.
And earth proclaim.
Hallelujah.
O kings and kingdoms shall all away. But there's something about that name.
Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.